Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on Member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the fourth day of October. Anno Domini 2025, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Have you paid your dues?
Ooh.
But before we get to the news, let us thank Dennis Worcester.
Hello. Yeah,
who was dragged kicking and screaming in here.
Yeah, I still got the bruises.
By his heels and ripping his fingernails off at the door frame. Sorry about pinching your fingers in the door. I apologize for that.
It'll be okay, I'm sure.
Well, Steve Ray is one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Southwest with the hole in the head gang. But we are delighted that Dennis is with us. Or against us, we won't know yet.
We're not sure yet.
I'm reserving judgment.
We'll see how it goes.
Time will tell.
Ask me later.
In the meantime, I will read the news. Nobody likes to think about this. This is a little dark. Oh, Nobody likes to think about this, but at some point we're going to move on from this mortal plane.
Well, I mean, sure.
Right. We tend to prepare for that in a lot of ways. We make wills, we set up trusts, we buy burial plots. But what about all our digital assets?
Okay.
Increasingly, we all keep the most important stuff online.
Sure. Photos and, for first.
Well, right. Well, our,
the biggest.
The most important thing is all your money.
Well, yes.
Right? So all of it is
that much of that.
Right. All of it is, or at least it should be password protected. You've got money?
He says he's got money.
He's got money.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you're buying lunch.
Yeah. Yeah. So as long as we're all having like one candy bar, I can do that.
Perfect.
So who has access to your passwords? Some of us keep our passwords in our heads. That's not useful at all. Some of us have a notebook where we've written down every password we've ever had. Except I've watched too many people paging frantically through those notebooks
saying,
try this one.
Yeah. Well,
if you can't figure out which one is current, how can anyone else? Some people keep their passwords in a spreadsheet. Even a locked spreadsheet can be cracked, but that's better than nothing. The best way to manage your passwords for the future is via a password manager.
That's true.
Some of them let you designate a secondary user to access your passwords, but all of them have their own password that locks them. Share that with your next of kin, and they can get at all your passwords. Also, the good password managers also let you put in additional information like a website address, your security questions and answers, your account information. That's all very valuable information for your next of kin. Now all you have to do is keep it up to date.
Right.
So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is where do your passwords go when you die? Your choices are, my family has my password manager credentials. I've got an unlocked spreadsheet called passwords. I've got a text file. I've got an old notebook somewhere. And don't care, I'll be dead. So far, we've got 28 votes, and my family has my password manager credentials, and don't care, I'll be dead, are tied.
Oh, that good.
I don't know how I feel about that.
And we just got two more votes, and we're still tied. So
you could break the tie if you come to soundbites.org.
Go to soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Enter in your vote. And, of course, if you've got something to say about this or any other topic under the sun that has something to do with computers, give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415.
Yeah, I gave mine to my wife.
Yeah, I have everything in a password manager.
Okay.
My wife has access to it. My daughter has access to it.
Good.
And I keep it up to date. So it's got all the questions, all the security questions, all the answers. And remember, you should always lie on your security questions.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Like, what was the name of your first dog?
Fitzgerald.
Purple. No, Purple.
Purple. Oh, yeah.
Something that's not even a name.
Wednesday.
Right. Something that's not even a name. So that, you know,
Beef Stroganoff.
It's harder and harder to guess. So, you know, those are the things that you should keep in a password manager. Keep it up to date and give someone the password. I remember when I worked at one job, I was the systems administrator. Every month, we would change our passwords.
Right.
And at the time, a lot of these programs didn't exist, and I was in an environment where we had a lot of hackers.
Dozens, yeah.
A lot of hackers. So what we would do is we would write the new password on a sheet of paper,
okay,
seal it in an envelope,
right,
sign the back of the envelope,
across the
and seat. Put it in the safe.
Sure. That way you know if it's been messed with.
You know if it's been messed with. The online hackers can't get at the safe.
That would be quite a trick.
That would be quite a trick. And so, but you know, people had a shot at getting all those passwords.
Right.
And managing the network if something happened. So, and the same is true with your family. You know,
what's the nicest gift you can give your family when they are feeling grief and loss? You know, the nicest thing you can do for them is to have planned ahead. Bottle of wine doesn't hurt. You know, wrap a rubber band around it with an envelope that you've signed across the.
it is a beautiful thing to let your family know that you're thinking of them, because you've got a lot of online digital assets. And I know you don't care about your social media and all of that stuff. I mean, who cares about that?
Yeah.
That's up to you. I don't care. But for your digital assets, the money you might have online in a Venmo account.
Sure.
PayPal or any banking that you do. You want to know that somebody has access to that easily and quickly.
Right.
Sure, there will be a probate and there will be a will reading and all of that, yada, yada, yada. But if they need that money quickly, in an emergency, they may not have access to it yet.
Yeah.
Whereas if they've got your passwords,
they
got it.
Yep.
Right.
Do money transfers.
Thinking ahead.
Yep.
To help make somebody else's part of life where it's again, very emotionally depleting. Trying to help smooth that out is kind of a, you know, really cool and classy thing to do.
Yeah, it's something that everybody should be doing. All right. To the phones. Our first caller is Ed from Henrietta, New York. What's up, Ed?
Yeah, hi, gentlemen. I got a quick question, a little background about the viruses on my phone. I've had AVG for, a couple years, no problem, so I decided to upgrade to premium. And a couple of days ago, I started to get these intermittent pop-ups that you can, you know, click away and keep doing what you're doing. And then when I've been reading the web or making an email, they started to be really intrusive. They would just sort of like take over your phone, and you'd have to wait for, you know, 15 or 20 seconds. There's no way to exit out. So my question is kind of twofold. How do I get rid of these? There must be viruses. I called AVG to say, hey, what's going on? I've been paying for all this. Well, we don't show any malware, any viruses, and this still keeps going on. So I went into my any apps I saw that looked weird. I didn't know. I recognized all of them, but some of them I took off. They were sleeping, and now I have to, you know, reboot phone, crash cookies, et cetera, about three or four times a day. So my question is, without doing a factory rebate,
please hold.
You don't have to transfer everything over, that nonsense. Is there any way to circumvent this so I can get rid of these things?
First of all, who makes your phone? Is it an Apple phone or an Android phone?
Yeah, it's the Samsung A14 5G. I called them and they can't do anything about it because they're not set up for things like that. So they said you'd have to call AVG, which they did. So it's the Samsung A14.
Okay. Well, I did find on the web while we were listening to your wonderful description, and it was very helpful. I did find a page at avg.com's website that is titled How to Stop Pop-Up Ads on Samsung. I'm going to make sure that Nick gets that, and we'll make sure it goes on the Soundbites webpage so that you can reference it specifically. But in general, it looks like there are ways to go to the notifications section in the settings and then toggle off the notifications for apps that are bothering you with pop-ups. There's those kinds of things. And it sounds like you did a little bit of this type of thing when you were deleting those apps that you were talking about.
Right. Yep. Yeah, anything that was strange or looked like something that I don't use, like this one they have for, like, launchers for games. Well, I don't do that, so I just uninstall it. Some of them, unfortunately, you can force stop them, but you can't uninstall them. I don't know if a force stop is equal to an uninstall or not. Because they give you this, well...
No, force stop will stop the program from running, but it doesn't uninstall it.
Right. That's what I was afraid of, you know. So right. I don't know. The only thing I can figure out when I upgraded, because it's, you know, knock on wood, I never had any problems, was I was fooling around with Adobe, trying to get the readers put in, put out. That's the only thing that they did in a cause-effect kind of thing that I can think of.
It is possible that you loaded a fake Adobe Reader program. There are millions of them.
Lots of people trying to catch folks unaware.
Yeah.
That can happen. To stop website ads and pop-ups, you can go into the Android settings and then tap apps, and then go to permissions and then notifications, and then you can toggle off the notification permissions for the Android browser, and that will keep websites from popping things up. I'm not sure if it's specific apps that you're getting them from or if it's specific websites, but I think between the two of those, that should, at a minimum, help narrow it down to the specific ones that are left over that you can look at. But this will kill off some of the obvious ones.
And tell me again your website on SoundBytes so I can look that up.
It's SoundBytes, and the bytes is spelled bytes.org.
Right. All one word.
And I just emailed this webpage over to Nick, and he can post it up in the, what is it called, the Wonderful Links section?
The Wonderful Links section. Latest Links Heard on the Show.
Oh, yes, okay.
And I'll get that up in a few minutes. I'm in the middle of life right now, so.
Okay.
But I will get that up in a few minutes, yeah.
But if you head over there, Ed, I think you're going to at least get pointed in the right direction, and that comes from an authoritative source at AVG.
Okay, that's really good. I appreciate that. I'll try that for sure. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye now.
All right. Yeah.
And if you're on the show and we give you some advice and say, hey, go try this, the number one thing that makes us smile is when you call back and let us know how it went. Even if it was a complete disaster, that helps too. That makes for great radio.
You sent me a blank email.
Did I?
Yes, you did.
Oh, I must have been using the power of thought.
Exactly.
You know what helps is when you actually paste the link in. Let me try this one more time.
Yeah, we'll try that in a minute. I will get that up at some point, possibly not until the break, but I will get that up. So, in the meantime, Dave seems to be having trouble with the phones again.
It's the switchover.
I have a hammer in my car.
Might need to be a big one.
Okay.
But it's one of those cartoon hammers that just squeaks when you hit things.
Right. I had one of those when I was at RIT.
Yeah.
I used to keep it
for
on my desk.
Stress relief?
To use for students.
Uh-oh.
Or the students that work for me, my minions.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. All right, I'm...
Dear Lord.
Look, a link.
Hey, how about that?
How about that? I have that link.
Via electronic mail.
It's unbelievable what you can do these days.
Yeah, especially when you remember to paste.
All right.
It goes right in there.
FM.
No, that's not going to be...
You know what I love about coming here to the studio?
Is what?
This wonderful on-air light that lives next to me, like a giant glowing Christmas bulb.
It's like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Gives my skin this wonderful
glow,
you know. Because I work all week in a basement that has no windows. And
right.
And this at least attempts to make me look like I've got some kind of tan. Or at least that I live next to a Kenny Rogers Roasters. And
all right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Rich from Irondequoit, New York. What's up, Rich?
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. Real quick question. Time's running short here, and I want to attempt to update to Windows 11.
Okay.
Now, I am not very good with computers, you know, not very techie savvy. If I attempt this process, am I going to get in trouble along the way? That's what I'm fearful of.
Well,
could be.
I would say all things are possible. But
it is Microsoft.
But I think there are things that you can do to help smooth things along. If the Windows installer checks your computer to see if it's capable of running Windows 11, I think that'll be the biggest thing that'll protect you from being sad later. Another thing, if you're not entirely comfortable with this, is to make contact with a local computer shop, and I'm confident that they would be very happy to
try
assist
you
with this and to help make things move as smoothly as possible. But in general, if your hardware is compatible and the installer will let you know, then for the most part, I don't think that I've heard many issues with people upgrading to 11. I know that where I work, we've been actively moving all of our Windows 10 machines to Windows 11, and so far it's been a relatively smooth process. So I believe in you. I think it could work.
Okay. Well, so my uses on the computer are very, very basic.
Okay.
Internet searches, email, no gaming, no pictures. I got, when I purchased the unit, it had about, it's a small amount of RAM, 8 gig of RAM, but I got about seven and a half usable left.
Okay. Well, so, 8 gigs of RAM, I would say, is good. I would say more is better, of course, but 8 will get you there. And the good news is that your needs, from what you've described, are wonderfully vanilla. And people people knock on vanilla, but I think vanilla is a great flavor.
Mm. Yeah, me too.
So the good news is you don't have like crazy things attached to the computer that are decades old, that have specific drivers. You don't have esoteric needs, like you're not editing video for a live show somewhere or some type of stage performance, or the computer itself is not working in a grain elevator where there's all sorts of dust and debris around. So in general, I think you've got kind of an optimal setup, and I think you're going to do all right.
Okay.
Now, let me make one suggestion.
Sure.
Before you do anything else, make sure you have a good backup.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Nick, what do you mean by that?
And that, to me, that means you take a full backup of all of your documents, your documents, your spreadsheets, you know, any files that you've created. You don't have to back up the operating system, just your, you know, everything
personal
under my documents.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, throw them on a USB flash drive.
And pictures, right. Put them on a flash drive or whatever, and then verify they're there. So go and look at one or two of them random and see that they went over.
Yeah.
Then do it again to a different flash drive.
Yep.
So you've got two copies.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've done that, then you can do the upgrade, secure in the thought that if something does go wrong, you've still got all your data that you can put back later.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that's cheap insurance. You can get a two-pack of flash drives for...
Yeah, they're
20, 25
cheap.
Bucks.
Yeah.
And they'll be plenty large enough to hold everything you could ever want to move over.
Yeah. Okay, great. One further question.
Sure.
I'm sure. I think the date, what is it, October? Do we have to
14th. You have 10 days.
10 days? Now, what happens after that? I mean, if I wanted to...
Well, what happens is you are now no longer secure.
Yeah.
Right. So here's the deal. On the 14th will be the very last update for Windows 10 that everybody gets for free.
Right.
After that, if you have not gone to the extended support, your system will not get any updates.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you will be open to every virus writer, every hacker,
Malware, spyware,
and all of those, by the way, are automated. They're being done by bots. They're not looking for you. They're looking for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I should let everyone know, don't get cocky, kid, because even when you get the updates, even if you go on to extended support, you are only getting security updates. Those are the only kind you will get. So, for example, in September, the last Patch Tuesday that we had, there were 86 updates. Only 11 of them were security updates. The other 75 were bug fixes. You will never get those again for Windows 10.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Got it.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to give it a try, and I think I should be okay, but I just wanted to throw this by you guys.
And, no, yeah. We appreciate that, and we're happy to help. Yeah. Make sure you got those backups, and
back
then go
up,
for
back
it.
Back up, yeah. Back up.
And then call us and let us know how it went.
Yep.
Will do. Thank you very much.
If it went well.
Okay. Have a great one, Rick.
And that's where, you know, I worry less having the Pixel phone that it's backing up all my photos, for one, up onto the cloud.
Sure.
And any of my documents, I don't worry about that because, again, I use Google Docs.
Right. Right.
Anything I've done, which I know you're a fan of, you wrote so many darn articles and everything else, it's thousands of stuff up there, and it doesn't count against your storage.
As long as you do it in the Google Docs format,
right?
Which is,
I mean, I'm not sitting
works.
There writing law, you
right.
know,
right.
things so, that have to have legal,
yeah, legislation, right. yeah.
And the other thing to remember is if you are an Amazon Prime customer,
okay,
because you want free shipping or because you want the movies or whatever reason, you also have unlimited photo storage.
Yep.
If you load the Amazon Photos app on your phone, it will back up all of your photos to Amazon for free.
Right. Well, yeah, no additional charge.
No additional charge.
Beyond, yeah. It's included.
It's included as part of your Amazon Prime thing. And so in my case, I also use pCloud, which is an automatic backup system. So I have all of my stuff is backed up on Google's drives. All of my stuff is backed up on Amazon's drives, and all of my stuff is backed up on pCloud's drives.
You know, Amazon's
okay. Plus my local drives that are backed up.
Amazon's a good thing, but the reason I don't caution folks to rely on it is all of a sudden, especially in these times, if all of a sudden you decide to, you know, do away with your Amazon subscription,
you right, lose all of that. Absolutely.
There's all your stuff. So don't forget, if you cancel that and you've been throwing your stuff up to Amazon and you said, can't really afford it right now, and cancel it,
yep,
you better first back those up.
That's why I say if you're already using it for whatever,
yeah, right,
then you have access to this at no additional charge. You should take
advantage of it. Oh, yeah, definitely. Just another spot to dump them.
And it's and that's the point. It's another place to dump them. You don't.
Not the primary.
Right. You don't rely on any one thing. If you yep, take a look at our backup page, which is linked in the important links at the top of our site, backup, you will see that we advocate the 3-2-1 backup plan.
Right.
At least three backups in at least two separate places, at least one of which is offline.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got like the 954.
You've gone above and beyond.
Well, I spent 20 years as a systems administrator, and the first lesson I learned is that you cannot be paranoid enough.
Right, right. Well, as a consultant, the worst conversation you can ever have with a client is, "I'm sorry, that data's gone."
Right.
You know,
the data. Yeah, that is important. But to me, bottom line, bar nothing, are the photos.
Yeah.
Right. Because you can't replace those ever.
Documents you can always recreate to some iteration or, you know, put it, paste, do this and do that, and it might not be word for word. But once your photos of your kids when they were little or, you know, grandparents or whomever, once those are gone, they're gone, folks. You can't recreate those moments.
That's true.
You know, so bar none, the key thing that I always tell folks is first, before you do anything else, get those photos. And yep, like you say, as many backups as you want, because those are the critical things that cannot be restored.
Right.
They're gone, folks.
Right. So, yeah, look, it's all about peace of mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about insurance. And insurance is if something happens, and in computers, if is always a when. bad things are going to happen to your computer at some point.
Yeah.
Unless you replace your computer every 6 months with a brand new top of the line unit.
Right.
Something's going to go wrong.
Where no component is DOA.
Right.
Or goes DOA right. in the first 6 months.
Right. Right. Even so, right. Because we've said this before. Hard drives, for example.
It's not an if, it's a when.
It's a when. The average lifespan is 5 years. Average means some last for 10 years, some are dead out of the box.
Yeah.
Where are you on that spectrum? While you contemplate that, we're going to take a little break just to give you a moment to cool your brain. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 38 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Ooh, Microsoft news. This is very exciting.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay.
Here we go.
On Tuesday, Microsoft started rolling out the latest Windows 11 update, Windows 11 25 H2.
Okay.
Instead of adding any major new capabilities, Microsoft said it is an, and I quote, enablement package, end quote, that includes recent features added to last year's 24H2 release.
Okay.
If anything, it could be a push for stragglers who've ignored recent updates to get on board with new Windows 11 capabilities. Microsoft says the Windows 11 2025 update also includes significant advancements in build and runtime vulnerability detection, coupled with AI-assisted secure coding. I didn't get through a whole paragraph without saying AI. Additionally, the new update will be leaner than before. It's rolling out in waves, so don't get excited if you don't have it yet. The new buzzword, by the way, is agentic.
Mm.
It means that your product can use an AI agent to make your work easier. For example, Microsoft 365 users looking for assistance in Word, Excel, and PowerPoint can now call on AI agents to help them with their work. On Monday, Microsoft announced that the new agentic AI skills are now available for both business and personal subscribers of Microsoft 365. As one example, someone without any expert in data analysis could ask AI for help creating advanced formulas or charts in their Excel spreadsheet. With this new set of Microsoft 365 features, knowledge workers will be able to generate complex Word documents or Excel spreadsheets using only text prompts to Microsoft's chatbot. Of course, the better you can articulate your intentions, the less frustrating the experience
you
will
read
be.
My mind, yeah.
So we're all going to be systems and analysts soon. It's going to be a frustrating transition time for most of us as we adjust to this new agentic world.
Right.
Oh, and if you're in a company that's using the desktop version of Microsoft 365, they're going to force this update on you whether you want it or not. I mean, they're going to help you by taking the burden of installing it on themselves rather than making you do it.
Right.
And it's not just 365 that's getting an agentic uplift. In a new internal memo, Windows and Surface boss Pavan Davuluri has announced that Microsoft is bringing the teams that make core of Windows back into the Windows organization. The move, core Windows people were out on their butts.
Right.
The move comes on as Microsoft promises the future of Windows to be one that is agentic, prioritizing voice input in addition to mouse and keyboard usage, and becoming an AI-powered OS that can conduct tasks and actions on your behalf. Davuluri even says that the restructure will help the company deliver our vision of Windows as an agentic OS.
Uh-huh.
And because Microsoft always gets everything exactly right the first time, this is going to be incredibly smooth.
Oh, yeah. No, they have a history.
They made it funny.
You know what is incredibly smooth? Getting answers from us. So give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0425.
I didn't know you were doing comedy bits now so, for the news.
I used to do the hardest job I have ever had in my life. And I've unloaded trucks. I've done all kinds of things. The hardest job is stand-up.
Yeah?
I don't care what anybody tells you. That's...
You're up there alone.
That's work.
And literally everybody's eyes are on you.
That's yep. stand-up there.
You got a microphone in your hand.
Yeah.
That's, and you got to get it right.
That's
which
hard.
They don't.
And deal with people in real time that don't care if you're happy or not. And
that's
just
right.
want to tell you how much they are not enjoying the show.
Actually, hecklers are fun.
They can be.
They can be fun.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fine line between insulting them and playing with them.
Yeah. Right.
But if you can walk that line, hecklers are the best.
I think that's where you sort out the men from the boys, so to speak, is how you can handle hecklers.
Yeah.
Oh, one thing I just wanted to interject. Just so in case folks don't realize, yes, we do not have the cameras, so we are not live here, you know, that you can go and...
Well, we're on YouTube.
Well... Dave, you are the disembodied voice of Dave.
Thank you. That's the way I like it.
He is smiling, listeners, when we say that to him. But yes,
well, he's baring his teeth. We'll call it a smile.
Nick and I are on StreamYard and going live, and I'm sure that there'll be a recording of this that people can see afterwards.
Is this going to YouTube?
Let's find out.
We hope so.
I'm just a silent... person here behind
disembodied Twitch, you can call him.
All right, well,
they don't need to see me.
Right, well, everybody goes to YouTube to see if we're there.
Yeah,
we're going to talk to Dave from Gates, New York. Hiya, Dave. What's up?
Hi, Nick. I have a problem with speech recognition on Windows 11. It automatically starts up when I boot up the computer, and also when I open certain programs. And I've tried everything to try to stop that from happening, and nothing seems to work.
Mm.
And I'm not sure what to do next.
Okay. In Windows 11, if you go to the settings area, inside there, there's a category called accessibility, and then inside there is speech, and there's a checkbox for Windows speech recognition that you can...
Click off.
That you can turn off.
I have it turned off, and it's still happening.
All right.
Well, and that might be because you accidentally pressed the Windows key, the Control key, and the S key simultaneously. For speech. S for speech. So if you press those again, it should go off.
No. I've started up the computer without doing that, and it automatically boots up.
Do you have it? Interesting.
I've looked at the three. Well, let's see. This is from, it's a Windows, it's a Microsoft person who answers questions.
Okay.
And he's got three methods. Disable Windows speech recognition in settings.
Okay.
Right. And voice access as well. There's a toggle switch also there for voice access.
Yeah, that's turned off also.
Okay.
And I also get a message saying that speech recognition is going to be replaced by voice access. So it seems like I've got both
right.
on my computer.
So once you've turned them off, you may have to reboot. The third way you need to do it is to go into privacy and security in your settings. And in privacy and security, there's a speech section, and you need to turn off online speech recognition.
Well, I believe I've tried that, too.
Okay.
Well, then you're doomed.
No.
Yeah.
Are you running any additional products, like Dragon Naturally Speaking, or have you turned it on in Microsoft 365 separately?
I'm not sure about the 365. I'm not sure about that. I've tried preventing it from running by pressing Win R
okay.
and typing Control in.
Yeah.
and opening the control panel, ease of access.
Ease of access, right, right.
That doesn't work either.
So there's a box that's in there called Run Speech Recognition at Startup. Do you have that one unchecked?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
I've run through all, and then the last method that I was reading about was WinRTypeService.msc. Then going to the service window, scrolling down to speech recognition, right-clicking, and selecting properties.
Okay.
And select disabled. I've tried that, and that doesn't work either.
Now, are you in voice recognition? Is it listening for you, or is it talking to you?
Well, it's listening. It's waiting for me to open the microphone. It's listening right now.
I see.
Okay, so under settings and privacy and security, did we talk about voice activation? That also needs to be turned off.
Well, I think I've done that too. I don't have everything open right now to check that.
Right, I would definitely recheck
those.
Yeah,
make a note and recheck that item.
The other thing is, if you never ever want voice and speech recognition, you can go into apps and features. And under that is programs and features. Look for the voice and speech recognition software and uninstall it.
Well, that's I've been trying to find that. I've even used Revo Uninstaller. I can't find it there. I can't find it under the Windows Uninstall.
All right. Did you look under apps and features in the settings? If you go to apps and features.
Right.
Okay.
Under that is programs and features. Under that is voice and speech recognition software. And in there, you can click the uninstall. And that might be your next, the next thing to try.
Does it matter what build of Windows 11 I have? Cause
it shouldn't.
I don't think so.
Well, because some of these things that are suggested, I don't have.
Okay.
You know, like,
have you got Windows S?
I am not sure.
In the control panel, under the bottom there, you'll see system. And if you click on system, it'll tell you how much memory you have, what version of Windows you're running.
Well, I copied everything from about the computer. So I've got, you know, my system type, product ID, device ID.
So it should say something like Windows 11 24H2.
Okay, I don't see that.
As Dave said, to systems, to system, and take a look in there, and that should tell you what version of Windows you're running. I think you can also just type WinVer at a command line, but I don't remember that.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I might need somebody to help me with this.
Okay.
And the other question I had about what I was thinking of installing some kind of Linux, and I don't remember which one. I think it was Mint, but I was using a program that would set up my USB drive, and I somehow got confused with that too, and so I wasn't able to do that, and I couldn't find the key to press to when I booted up so that the computer would boot up from the USB drive. I didn't know what F key it was, and I was trying different ones, and I booted about three or four times, and I couldn't find the USB drive.
Oh, it's usually either F2 or F11.
Yeah.
But you really, it's a very timing tricky.
Yeah, you got to start hitting the F2 button and then turn the computer on, and then it's going to go into the setup mode.
And you have to keep tapping the button, not hold it down.
Yeah, keep tapping it, and then you're going to get into the setup mode. And then in there, in the configuration, you're going to change the boot order, and you can have it first check the USB drive before going to the hard drive.
Okay, but it's a F2. You say
try F2, yeah. That's F2. That's the famous.
Before I did that, I would try F11, which often brings up a boot menu, and it says, oh, here are the things that you have available to boot with.
Some of them are doing that, too.
A boot picker, they call it.
A boot picker, and then you can say, oh, I want that USB drive. Of course, it has to be plugged in already before you turn the computer on.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, I'll try some of your suggestions.
Then. All right, okay. Let us know. Good luck.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Goodbye. Bye. Yeah,
Yeah, the key thing is when he's turns, before he even turns it on, start hitting that F2 key and then turn it on. And like you said, keep hitting it because it's got to get the attention.
You can't hold it down. You have to keep tapping it real fast.
Yep, it's got to get the attention of it. And that's the only way it does it.
And the problem is there's no standard key, although most of them use F11. For boot menu?
They're slowly going. Before, it used to be control and then something else.
Yeah.
Now, they're just either using F2 or F11.
Right.
Now,
F2 usually brings you into the BIOS.
Yep.
F11 brings up the boot picker.
Boot menu.
Yeah. So, I would try F11 first. But, again, it depends entirely on your computer. And once you know which one it is, write it down.
Sometimes, you know, when they're, and people don't notice it, is when the system is first turning on, usually either on the top or bottom, you'll see a one-liner for setup, hit this key.
Right.
But it flashes really quick, and you got to be...
Real fast.
Looking for it.
That's why once you know what that key is, you just keep tapping it until
you're golden.
Yep.
Right, and if you get to the Windows logo, you've waited too long.
Yeah, exactly. It's way too long.
Mm-hmm.
I recently thought I had a memory issue with my brand-new computer, so I wanted to run Memtest Plus 86.
Okay.
And I created a boot disk, and I F11'd it, and I missed it the first two times. It's a very fast machine.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I just missed it. Third time was the charm.
So, listeners, if you're having trouble with this, it is not just you.
It's not just you. It depends on how fast your machine is. Back in the day, when the computers were slower and I was faster, I never had a problem.
Now
the computers are faster and I'm slowing down.
Traded
long ago.
Going the wrong way. That was...
those two lines crossed over.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tip. You keep tapping that key. You can't hold it down. I know the keys repeat when you hold them down, but that doesn't happen until after the operating system boots, because that part of the driver doesn't load until then.
Yep.
So you have to keep tapping that key.
Right.
Until the computer gets it. And once it says, entering boot menu or whatever.
Then you can stop tapping.
Then you can stop hitting it. But you gotta catch it.
Oh,
you gotta catch it just right. It's a timing issue. And apparently timing stinks.
So I was thinking.
That's why I'm not a stand-up comic anymore.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah, that's the reason.
Okay. I was listening to your Microsoft story about all of the agentic features they want to add, and I'm thinking there has been at least for a year, possibly more, developers, people who are programmers, who are using tools like this to help create their applications and to help them get through all the sort of grunt work of the thing that they need to do. And we've called that, other people have come in and said, wow, I can just tell this thing, make me an app that does this and make sure that it has a login window and make sure that the icon is blue and those things. And then it spits out all the code for you. So in the industry, that's become called vibe coding.
Vibe coding.
You don't really know any of the details. You don't really know the language per se, but you know, in English what you have in mind. And
right.
When it spits something back, you can at least tell it which part it got right and which part it didn't. And then it will try again. And to build something. So instead of vibe coding, it sounds like what we have with Microsoft Office here is vibe working.
Yes.
Where you just throw some data at it and you say, can you fix this?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the problem. That is exactly the problem.
And it never, lowers its eyebrows and squints and says, what do you mean?
Right.
It says, sure thing, Skipper. Let me go over here and manipulate this stuff and do that. And they're like, ta-da, here you go. Was that what you wanted?
Many years ago, I got a call from...
And then you won't know because you didn't know what you wanted in the first place.
You didn't know what you wanted. Many years ago, I got a call from my boss when I was just doing some other kind of work. And he said, look, I need a spreadsheet that does this. And he, in deep detail...
Right.
Told me exactly what he needed.
Right.
And while he was talking, I coded it.
Yes.
on the spreadsheet.
If you're specific enough.
He knew what he wanted to the detail.
Good.
And so when I was done, he said, how long is that going to take you to make? I said, you hear your printer going off behind you? That was a mistake, by the way.
Oh, because then he knew you could do it.
Right. Then he never did anything ahead of time ever again. But that's because he was absolutely nitpicky detailed and exactly what he wanted, so I was able to do it.
Well, and programming is nitpicky details, like 90%
of it. Right. If you're a big picture person, programming is not your forte.
Right.
And so the people who will say, I want an app that plays Pong.
Sure.
Okay. What's Pong?
Right.
Well, there's a paddle that goes on the left and one on the right. Okay. What do those paddles do? Well, they move up and down. Okay.
Right.
And then what happens? And then there's a ball that goes back and forth. Okay. And when the ball hits the paddle, it rebounds off the paddle.
Right.
Okay. What happens if you miss the paddle? Oh, then it goes off the screen and you lose a point. That's, you have to get
all the details
to that level.
Right.
And
but unless you do.
Right. Now, if you are, now, where that will work is for people like that boss I was telling you about.
Oh, for sure.
He knew exactly what he wanted. He could describe it in excruciating detail.
Mm-hmm.
And I could give him exactly what he wanted. And so could an AI agentic program.
Sure.
But if you only have a vague idea what you want, or you don't know the right language to use,
or if you're, here's the big thing for me, if you are not able to tell if those results that you get back actually match what you intended to get, if you're not capable of looking at the results and analyzing those to make sure that they match what you were looking for in the first place,
so
then this may not be for you.
I've known people who have said, you know, the old adage, you can only improve what you can measure.
Sure.
There's a corollary. What are you measuring?
Right.
And if you don't actually know what you're measuring, you don't know what you're improving.
Right. Right. And you may not be, well, in management, you get into, are you providing the appropriate incentives?
Well, exactly.
With what you're measuring? Well, exactly, or are you providing perverse incentives?
Exactly right. Measuring? So, yeah, there's a guy.
What was that Disney movie with Sorcerer's Apprentice?
Yeah.
Where Mickey Mouse steals the sorcerer's hat and starts causing all sorts of mischief because he knows that the hat is powerful and capable, but he doesn't know how to wield that power correctly.
Right.
Ends up creating a giant mess.
And there's a guy who says, okay, you can make ads for people to click on to buy your product, but who are you? What is the purpose of that ad? He said, the purpose of that ad is to get the people who go to the lowest paying websites to click on that ad. Are those the people you actually want?
Mm. Qualifying your customer.
Qualifying your customer. All right, listen, that music tells us that we are done for the first hour, but do not go away because there's a whole other hour of Soundbites coming your way. What is that? That is a whole nother hour of Dave Enright. Thankfully, a whole nother hour of Dennis Worster. Unfortunately, a whole other hour of me, Nick Francesco. And definitely great that it's a whole nother hour of you, but only if you give us a call, which you can do while we are taking our break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with more Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
Online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, you're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. And ta-da. Of course, ta-da. And you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299 or toll free at 800-790-0415. In the meantime, I will read security news. Microsoft is working to resolve a bug, there's a shock, that causes Defender for Endpoint to incorrectly tag some devices' BIOS, or basic input-output system firmware, as outdated, prompting users to update it.
Okay.
In a service alert, Microsoft said this known issue affects Dell devices and is caused by a Defender for Endpoint logic bug.
Fun.
While the company has already developed a fix for this bug and is currently preparing for for deployment, it is yet to disclose the regions and the number of customers impacted by these ongoing Defender XDR issues. And by the way, that's one of the things that will not be fixed once in 10 days when Windows reaches end of life.
Yep.
Bugs will not be part of your updates from
after that date.
So if you get that bug, too bad. A new Android banking and remote access Trojan called Cleopatra, and disguised as an IPTV and VPN app, has infected more than 3,000 devices across Europe so far. Cleopatra is described as a powerful Trojan that can monitor the screen in real time, capture input, simulate gesture navigation, and features a hidden virtual network computing mode. The new Trojan does not appear to be connected to any documented Android malware families and appears to be the project of a Turkish-speaking cybercrime group. Cleopatra was developed to steal banking credentials via overlay attacks, exfiltrate clipboard content and keystrokes, drain accounts over VNC, and collect cryptocurrency wallet app info. The malware infiltrates victims' devices through a dropper app called ModPro IPTV Plus VPN, which is distributed outside of the official Google Play platform for Android. So stop getting your stuff in dodgy back alleys. Hackers are actively exploiting a critical vulnerability in the sudo or super user do package that in Linux that enables execution of commands with root-level privileges on Linux operating systems. The U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, or CISA, has added this vulnerability to its known exploited vulnerabilities catalog. I know most Linux users are good at keeping up with their current patches, but be extra good this week or so, okay? An extortion group calling itself the Crimson Collective. Excuse me. The Crimson Collective. Claims to have stolen nearly 570 gigabytes of compressed data across 28,000 internal development repositories of Red Hat, with Red Hat confirming it was a breach of one of its GitLab instances. These data allegedly included approximately 800 customer engagement reports, which can contain sensitive information about a customer's network and platforms. It is a consulting document prepared for clients that often contains infrastructure details, configuration data, authentication tokens, and other information that could be abused to breach customer networks. Red Hat confirmed that it suffered a security incident related to its consulting business, but would not verify any of the attacker's claims regarding the stolen GitLab repositories and customer endpoint reports. Western Digital, God bless them, has released firmware updates for multiple MyCloud NASs or network attached storages, models, zzzz, to put enough S's in there to patch a critical severity vulnerability that could be exploited remotely to execute arbitrary system commands. The flaw is an OS command injection in the user interface of MyCloud and can be leveraged through specially crafted HTTP post requests to send vulnerable endpoints. MyCloud users should prioritize patching to 5.31.108 as soon as possible. If immediate action cannot be taken, users are recommended to take the device offline until they can apply the update. Users who have enabled automatic updates in their device settings should have received that update already, but it doesn't hurt to check to ensure you're running the latest version, which again is 5.31.108. That number in Bayonne, 5.31.108. Never hurts to do that check. And it never hurts to give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. You know, we talk a lot about making sure you've got plenty of backups. But part of it is how secure is your backup medium.
Yeah.
And
right.
And when
is it reliable?
Right. And when it's something like this and it can have a problem, it is important to make sure that you keep it up to date. The reality is, and we keep harping on this, but it remains true. Every human on the planet now is their own systems administrator. You have computers that need to be updated, but you have routers that might need an update, printers that need updates, your television needs an update, your Roku box needs an update, your NAS needs an update. If you've got your own modem, it needs an update. All of these things should be checked periodically for updates.
And listener, if you're listening, this is the sentence that you would not have predicted you would hear if you were still in the 1990s.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. My refrigerator right. needs a what now?
Yep. Well, and that's just it. Your refrigerator, your thermostat, your lights.
Sure.
You know, I have a couple of friends who've got the Philips Hue
yeah.
system.
Right.
And that has its own hub.
It's true.
That hub has an update.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you should make sure you have that update.
The LG products, you know, like your refrigerator and stove and washing
yep.
machine and all that, they have updates. Because within that, I mean, say like an LG refrigerator, believe it or not, that if it's going wrong, it will generate a code. And what you have to do is call LG, and they ask you, please put the phone up to the refrigerator.
Okay.
And they'll have you play the tone. Through the tone, they can diagnostics what's wrong with your refrigerator.
Oh, interesting.
And send out a serviceman with the parts to fix it.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing. But you that may have its own update. And particularly for
they're
those
updated.
Of you who, you know, TV, refrigerators now have screens on them. So you can see the news and the weather and all the ads that they're going to throw at your face.
Right.
But those things are basically computers that need an update. If you have Raspberry Pis, when was the last time you updated them?
Yep.
If you've got that old Windows machine sitting in the basement just running maybe a weather system thing,
sure.
When was the last time you updated that? All of those systems, if you're going to keep yourself secure, need to be updated.
Mm-hmm. Right.
One of the reasons that I have not until now had any of those smart devices in my home, that Internet of Things, is because so many of them are unsecurable.
Yeah. Yes, right.
That is opening Pandora's box there.
And, you know, I would love to have a light. We were talking about this the other day at Rochester Google's. You could control your lights with either your Alexa device
mm-hmm.
or your Google Home device.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one of the people was saying, well, I'd really like to be able to you know, automate when the lights come on and off.
Right.
And I said, you can do that. You tell it, turn the light on, turn, you know, light four, whatever, mm-hmm. however you designated it.
Yeah.
Turn light four on half an hour before sunset every day.
Right.
It knows when sunset is.
I do this exact thing at my house.
Exactly.
It's very convenient.
And then, you know, turn it off half an hour after sunrise or whatever, you know, whatever time is right for you.
See, I've got mine set to turn off when I should really go to bed. So when the lights go off,
yeah.
that's the sign, Dennis, it's time to get up off the sofa, get ready for bed.
Yep.
Daytime is over.
What I've had to do, and this is true, I wrote a little Python program that I put in my cron job.
Okay.
And at the time when I really should go to bed, it puts up a full screen picture.
Okay.
That covers everything and says, go to bed.
Go to bed, dummy.
Which I then immediately turn off.
Dismiss,
Yeah, right. But
you know, the thought was there.
The thought was there. But you can do that with your devices. Now, again, I know that the most secure ones are the ones like the Philips Hue.
Sure. Well, the most secure is the ones you never install.
Well, right. That which is what I've got.
Right.
But of the ones that are installable, the Philips Hue is very good. The problem is they ain't cheap.
That's true.
Now, part of that is you can program them for any one of 16 million colors.
Sure.
I defy you to name 16 million colors.
I could name them. They'll just all be in hex.
And, you know, the ones that are one hex digit apart.
Right.
How
can
you
perceive that?
Can you even perceive that?
Yeah.
So I don't need 16 million colors on my light bulb.
Right.
I want a light bulb that I can turn on and off. A bonus would be if I can dim it.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than turn it off at, you know, whatever time a.m.,
right.
I can dim it so I at least can find my way out of the room.
Right.
But, you know, they tend to make them either so cheap that I don't want them because they're not securable.
Right.
Or so expensive that I don't want them because it's ludicrous to pay that kind of money
sure.
for one light bulb.
Yeah, I bought a set of the Hue stuff, and I went to Amazon, and I bought them in a refurbished package.
Ooh.
So that I could not have to pay the eye-wateringly high price that they have. But I will say, I bought those, I think, right about the same time that I was stuck at home during the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
And it gave me something to do.
No, there. Yep. Pandemic money is different from every other money.
Right, yes. Yeah, it's pandemic math.
It's absolutely true.
So so I bought those, and I got them set up, and I realized, oh, these are kind of nice. They work well. They integrate nicely. And there were other times that I bought some of the cheap ones to see what the difference was, because I could get those in a four-pack for a pittance. And I realized, oh, okay, well, these show up as a name that I've never heard of before. And I did go, and there's a guy on YouTube, of course, because there's always a guy on YouTube.
There's always a guy on YouTube.
That actually does traffic analysis of what is the smart light bulb actually connecting to.
Right.
And it may be connecting to places that you would prefer it didn't.
Right.
I'll leave it at that.
Right.
So I said, okay, well, that's the end of these.
So much for that product.
So much for that. And then I realized, okay, well, I'll just keep Amazon alert for when those Hue bulbs fall below a certain price.
Yeah.
So I used my favorite website, Camel. And I set up an alert that said, hey, when this bulb gets below this many dollars, send me an email. And it dutifully has over the years.
Excellent.
So we've been able to keep up with that. But you're right. It's the more things you have, the more things there are that you are responsible for.
That's right.
To keep track of and keep up to date.
That's right. And if you're one of those people who's got a couple of computers sitting in a corner, when was the last time you popped them open and updated them?
Yeah.
That's a thing you should do quite regularly.
It's true.
Because the longer you wait, the longer they're going to take and the less incentive you're going to have to do it. Now is a perfect time to do that while you're sitting here listening.
Or evaluate if you really need them anymore.
Or if you really need them anymore and then move them on to somebody else.
Hand them off to someone else, or they can go to the fine e-waste people who will happily take care of them for you.
Or
put them in the trash,
you know,
that's not legal.
I met a guy that refurbishes them for needy RCSD students.
Sure.
And that, I think, is a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get his information, of course, because I didn't. I don't know why I didn't.
I'm sure you'll see him again.
I'm sure I will. And so, I can get in touch with him.
Or if you're that guy, give us a call.
Yeah. that's great. I used to get laptops and do the same thing. And I'm still doing that, but on a much, much lower
smaller
basis
scale.
than I used to, because I used to give them to doctors without borders. The last time I sent a whole bunch of them to Tanzania and a couple of other places through various doctors, but they haven't been in touch with me lately, and I haven't had many computers to send them. And with those, I put Linux on them,
okay?
Because there, you know, for some of those countries, there are export restrictions,
sure,
for Windows stuff,
yeah, right?
So you know. Linux
doesn't have
go.
Those. It's not
right.
encumbered by that.
Right. So, and people don't care. They just want to be able to surf the web and maybe do a little bit of word processing. And
right.
Linux machines do that perfectly well. So, even the real low end ones.
Well, and the updates that come through, they just seem to be a lot tighter in general.
Yeah.
And the updates come more often. So.
Yep.
People are finding the problems and fixing the problems. And
somebody the other day said
the
to me,
fixes.
I get updates every day for Linux. Yes,
yeah.
That is good.
You're welcome.
Because all you have to do is say okay and keep on working.
Right.
You don't have to stop and reboot. You don't have to sit and wait for anything to happen. It all happens in the background. Only if they actually update the operating system do you have to reboot.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this morning I got an update for something and I clicked okay and kept on working. I don't care. It happened in the background. I was done. When it was finished, it said, you're done. I clicked OK again. Yes, you have to click OK twice. And I was done.
OK.
It never interrupted me in any way, shape, or form. So it's that kind of thing So 30, 35 years ago, when I first started using Linux, it was not quite that easy.
No, I mean, it was an early...
It was early days.
It was early days for that.
But it's gotten to the point where it's easy to be lazy. It's easy to be lazy. But to go back to an earlier point that we made, people are talking about, you know, oh, I've got, you know, I've got, I'm going to do Windows 10. I'm going to keep Windows 10 for another year.
Okay.
You have 10 days. And there are three ways to do it. One is to pay the $30. The second way is to back everything up, back up your settings
okay.
to OneDrive. And the third way is to accumulate 1,000 Bing points, which you may have trouble doing between now and 10 days.
Okay. So that you said $30. Is that a one-time fee or is that?
It's a one-time fee. There is only a one-year update so okay. far.
So the $30 will get you 12 months.
12 months. And, by the way, you can spend that $30 any time in the next 10 years, in the next year, but the $30 deal ends on October 14th, 2026.
I see.
So if you bought it, if you give them $30 on the 14th,
mm-hmm.
you're done.
Mm-hmm.
The next day.
I see.
So you want to be very careful about whether you're going to do that and when you're going to do that. And the other thing to remember is that...
I think she said Perry. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Okay. Good to know.
The other thing to remember is, as I said at the top of the show, you only get security updates. Any other updates, like bug fixes, you will not get. So, as I said, in September, there were 86 updates in the Windows Update package. 11 of them were security fixes. The other 75... were bug fixes. You will never get those. So Windows 10 will become buggier and buggier and buggier and buggier as time goes on, and Microsoft doesn't care. And there is no fix for it because you can't get the fix. So be very aware that you have only a partial solution if you're going to keep Windows 10 for another year. And we're going to go to the phones, and we're going to talk to Colleen. And Colleen, are you from Perry, New York?
That's correct.
Okay. What's up?
Well, I hate to bug you about this again and again, but the this Windows 10 extended update thing, I still haven't gotten, you know, any invite to do that, to do the extended update. And I'm wondering if it's because my computer technically is able to update to Windows 11, but I'm afraid it's going to be so slow it will be useless.
Right.
So I haven't really wanted to do that.
Hmm. That's understandable.
And the other thing is I wanted to take a tax course, and the people who are hosting it require Windows 10.
Okay.
So,
do they require Windows 10 or better? Or is that a minimum requirement, or is that a definite?
I haven't talked to them, but okay. their website says Windows 10, and they give, it's probably minimum requirements, but
yeah.
I haven't actually talked to them about it yet.
Okay. I think that makes sense, too.
Yeah, because after the 10th, you know, 10 is not going to be supported.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so the first thing you should try to do, and I think I have a link here somewhere, and of course I'm trying to do two separate things at once, neither of which I'm good at, where's the link? There it is. I'm going to see if I've already got this link on my
okay.
health check. There's a Windows PC health check.
What does it do?
Okay.
And you can download that from Microsoft's website.
Okay.
How am
looking
I not
carefully for this
am
on
I
the
not
page?
Seeing that? Okay. Well, I'll get a link up.
Yep.
There we go.
Found it.
Thank you very much. PC Health Check app for Windows 11 upgrade.
Okay.
Okay. That is now at the top of our latest links heard on the show list. At our website, soundbites.org, bites with a Y. Of the 822 links in the database currently,
okay,
that is now number one.
So Colleen can go there to...
And download the PC health check, and it will tell her if her system is eligible for upgrade to Windows 11.
Okay. you mentioned, Colleen, that you think it is, but it may just be at the tail end of the Microsoft's acceptability.
Yeah, you know, I'm afraid that it isn't going to work well. You know, technically, they're sending me, they're pushing notifications that I can upgrade, and I really need to do it now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, then you already know you can. Okay.
Yes. Uh-huh. That's good.
I'm just, you know.
Yeah, you're leery of it.
It's, you know, not, it'll run it, but, you know, at a snail's pace.
Right.
Right, right, right. Well, if you've only got, you know,
there are upgrades that you can do for not an awful lot of money that could certainly help with that. For
right.
instance, installing more memory can help.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a lot of space available on your storage, you can install larger storage. That's a bit more complicated, but faster storage. Yes, that can certainly help too.
But if your processor is slow, and particularly if you're on a laptop, it might be time to just get a new machine.
Yeah. How old is the machine?
I think I got it in 2020.
Okay. So,
it's getting to the end.
Well, and it depends, you know, and I'm you don't have to tell us one way or the other.
It depends.
But if you bought the low end in 2020 as opposed to bought the high end in 2020,
mm-hmm.
that's two very different machines.
Yep. Yeah.
That's true.
Well, it's an i7, I can tell you that.
Okay. Well, that should be fine.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to run Windows 10 on that pretty nicely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm current Windows 11 on that. I'm running it on an i5 right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it runs okay.
All right.
Oh, yeah, I'm a Linux snob, so I think it only runs okay.
All right.
But it runs, and so you know that I could do what I wanted to do if I wanted to do it on that machine. So you should be all right there. You want at least 8 gig of RAM. More is better.
Mm-hmm.
You want at least 512 gig of RAM, of disk space.
Available disk space, yeah.
Available disk space. More is better.
How much is that again?
512.
Yep.
Half a terabyte.
Yep. Half a terabyte. More is better.
All right.
And of course, before you do the upgrade, as we've said many, many times, two verified backups.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, I know my memory is only half of that. It's 256.
Okay.
Your hard drive space.
Storage space.
Yeah.
It
depends. Now it depends on how much stuff you've got on the drive.
A lot.
Okay, then you may need to either take it somewhere and have them clone that drive to something bigger or remove a bunch of stuff for the upgrade. The upgrade is going to take an awful lot of space.
Okay. Do you know how much offhand?
I do, off the top of my head, I do not, but it's at least 100 gig, at least, and it's probably more.
Ooh.
Yeah,
so.
That can make things tight.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Right.
And so, you know, maybe the first thing to do is to get a bigger hard drive. Also, talk to them about whether you've got a spinning hard drive, a hard drive.
Uh-huh.
Or an SSD, a solid-state drive.
I've got an SSD.
Okay, that's better
that
because that, you know, is going to be much faster. But you might still want to replace that with a bigger SSD.
Okay.
So I would get that done this week.
Yes.
Right.
I think it might be easier just to buy another computer.
Well, and that's absolutely true, right? Because by the time you add all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
what with parts and labor and mm-hmm. everything else,
right? You're driving it there,
close to the cost of a new machine, and a new machine is going to have a faster processor, a better screen,
every
piece of it is going to be better.
And right. then you can use that old machine to play around with Linux.
Sure.
That's true.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate all of your help and advice.
Well, thank you, and good luck.
Yeah. Okay.
Let us know how you make out.
I will do that.
Thanks. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye, Colleen.
All right. Yeah. We're down to the wire, and I've kind of been expecting these calls. We need some blue pills here.
For those who are listening.
Yeah.
Nick's having trouble with his microphone stand.
Yeah,
it keeps trying to hit him in the face.
It keeps.
And as hilarious as that is,
it's tired. It's a tired little thing. It just wants to rest on my chest.
I assure you, everyone out there in Radio Land, it is as hilarious as you think it is. To watch
if you're not watching us on YouTube, it does this.
A microphone that needs Viagra.
I put it up here and it comes.
It comes
down here.
It's not doing what it needs to.
It's not doing its thing.
That's it. Show's over.
I've got all this
Tighten down?
Tighten down as far as I can tighten it.
Okay.
Yeah,
push that I don't know. Back. We'll have to hire some interns to just sit here and hold the microphones for us.
That's it. We need people to come in and
if
hold
you'd me. Like to be an intern for the
or as I call them minions, I prefer to think of them as minions.
Sure.
But yeah, we recommend that you've only got 10 days. You've already waited till the last minute.
This is it.
Because you need to do two full backups.
Right.
So get yourself a couple of large USB drives. At least two, three is always better. Do a complete backup of all your documents. And then you can do the upgrade. We're going to take a quick break. While I slap this microphone around, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worcester, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Sound Bites, right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we are solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. We'll see you in just a few.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites, and we have, is it pronounced Marie?
Marie, M-A-R-I-E.
All right.
Oh, Marie, I beg your pardon. I just did not hear that properly. That's my fault. What's up, Marie?
Well, I'm calling to update you on what happened. I talked to you a couple of weeks ago, and excuse me if I start to cough. It's allergies, and you can keep talking.
Oh, please.
No problem.
We get it.
Well, I'm super happy that you're calling us back. This is great for us. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Well, so mainly I want to tell you what happened when I had a couple more conversations with Frontier and using landlines. But in the meantime, I got good news that I made the big switch from Windows 10 to Windows 11.
Hey. Oh, nicely done.
Good for you.
Yeah. I did a health check like you advised. And, you know, I was looking for information on my computer, et cetera. Finally decided, you know what, I'm going to take it to a shop and have them do it.
Okay.
I wasn't too confident with the whole thing.
No, no shame in that.
Yeah, went to American Computers, Westridge Road. They were great.
Okay.
They did it for me, and they checked a bunch of other things, and they even put a guest account on there for me, as I learned from you guys. A person could put a guest account on there.
Yep.
You have a guest in the house.
Good.
So I took care of a lot of things, so that went real well.
Good. Love to hear that.
Yeah.
But before you go on, that what Marie's talking about with a guest account is most people, when they log on to Windows, log in as the administrator. That is very dangerous. If you happen to go to a website that has a virus and you get that virus or a malware thing, it now has all the privileges the administrator has. But if you are in that system as a guest, as a regular user, then it is much more limited in the damage it can do. Okay, sorry, Marie, go ahead.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So, yeah, I heard you say that before, so I thought I'll have this done. So it's actually not as big of a change as I expected. It's really very similar to Windows 10 as far as my doing the basics that I do.
Okay.
My printer is still working. The gentleman there said that it would, and indeed it does. I have a HP Pavilion laptop.
Okay.
That's almost five years old now, with a 16 RAM.
Uh-huh.
I just use things like File Explorer and you know, emails and searching and stuff.
Sure.
So everything's okay, except and I don't want to. I don't know if I want to get into this because it's not what I called about, but the CD, I have a CD-ROM.
Okay.
So I decided to try put a CD in there with pictures, and I can't get it to work, and I can't get it out either. So I want to work on that at some point. But I did want to tell you and compliment you on talking about backups. Holy cow, you know, I've been listening to you talking about backups for so long, and I thought I was all set. I'm with Norton Antivirus, and I have a Slim, I think it's called a Slimline gadget, a separate gadget.
Okay.
By accident, because I called Norton about something else, I found out that I wasn't being backed up.
Wow.
I used to be. For years, I was. I've had them for years. And I was backed up for a long time. Then I made a change in my account last spring, and come to find out, the backup didn't take somehow. So here I thought I was being backed up the whole time, and I wasn't. So anyway, they got that set up, so that worked out all right. And then when I took it to the shop, I said, well, let me just check my this gadget, you know, see if it's working and if my backup that I put on it was working. He's like, no. He told me, no.
Yeah.
This was never set up right. And so he set it all up for me. I had no backups at all, and I thought I had two.
Wow.
So I guess that's, you know, if people are tired of hearing about the backups, I've got to just put in a word and say, hey, you know, check it all out, because you may not be getting the backups you're thinking you're getting.
That's an excellent point, Marie. Yeah. Thank you. The fact is, if you haven't checked your backups, you don't know you have a backup.
One other quick tip for you, though, Marie. You're saying you're having problems with your CD-ROM drive?
Yes.
All you got to do is click on, you know, on your desktop, My Computer.
Okay.
And you're going to see the CD-ROM drive there. If you right-click on the drive, one of the options is Eject.
Yeah.
And it will open up the tray, and you can take the disk out.
Okay, I'll check that out.
It out when you get a chance.
I thought I did it, and I thought that it said to me, it hit a message that I didn't write it down because I wasn't going to get into it too much today, but it said something about the wrong thing or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Okay. Well, you can call us again once you've discovered that, if you're having an issue, and we can walk you through that.
Okay. Thank you. So, about Frontier and landlines.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a landline user. I use it like 95% of the time.
Okay.
So, I talked to a couple more representatives from Frontier, and found out if you go with the fiber optics that they're really pushing it very, very hard.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So, because it's in the neighborhood now. So if you go with them, the phone goes via internet, apparently, and then you will not have phone service if the power dies.
Right.
If the power is off.
Sure.
So that's kind of like a huge difference. And it's a disadvantage, as far as I'm concerned. They do provide you with a battery backup.
Right.
And, you know, it's just one more thing to keep track of. You were talking about that earlier.
Yeah,
One more thing to keep track of, and I do have a friend in another city whose battery died, and he didn't realize it, and, you know, so he didn't have that. You know, got to keep track of it. So, and then, you know, we have cell phones. Of course, I have a cell phone, but if the battery's not charged fully, if the power goes out for a number of hours or a day or more than one day, then this was a really nice advantage that my phone was operable if the power went off.
Right.
So I didn't like that. And then, now the other thing you may want to comment about this, they said they give Wi-Fi security. So I asked about that, and that's like viruses and all this. And I said, well, if I already have a company that does this, wouldn't that be bad to have two different? Because my understanding is it's not good to have two different antivirus programs running.
They can interfere with each other.
Pardon?
They can interfere with each other.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And I did have two, a couple, 3 years ago or something, I had two, and I did get a huge malware thing that I ended up going to the shop and having it taken care of. So I had that experience a couple times. So I just went to one now, so I just have one antivirus now. So I wonder what you think of that, that Frontier wants to give you the Wi-Fi security, even if you have that already.
Well, if it depends on where the Wi-Fi security is.
Yeah.
If it's a program they want to put on your computer, or it's a program that they're running at their end.
Oh.
If they're running it at their end, if they're stopping the viruses from getting to you at their end, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If they want to put it on your computer, then you're right. You would have two antivirus programs on your machine.
And you don't need it.
Oh, no. Because then they would have to actually put it on the computer.
Right.
Somebody to...
So if it's something that they do at their end, let them do it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay.
They likely have a list of good websites and bad websites, if I boil it down. And their job is to make sure that the bad websites don't show up on your computer. So if something on your computer requests something, requests websites, then their tooling will compare it against the list that they have. And if it's on the good list, they will send it back to you. And if it's on the bad list, oftentimes they'll take over the screen and say, hey, by the way, we've blocked this website because we've determined it isn't something that
you it's safe for you.
Need. Yeah, it's not safe enough to deliver back to you. And that, like Nick says, that can be a good help. That also means that the tooling on your computer probably has a lot less to deal with in general. And it, like Nick says, if they're doing that, again, at their own end, then that's just fine. But if they want to install it at your machine, that's probably something to
you don't really need
turn down.
Well, that sounds good. Thank you for answering that question. That was pretty confusing, and when I talked to the rep, she had no idea what I was talking about.
Yeah, sales reps are
reading out of a cookbook.
Yeah, and so I found that out. I talked to several people by now in the last few months, and then they started referring me to customer service because
of course.
I told them I wanted to cancel. But FYI, for anyone who's listening who's in the same boat I'm in, customer service has been pretty pushy about it, too.
So, yeah, they have.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think that eventually I'm going to have to go with this. I don't know, but right now I'm kind of stalling on the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because I like the security of having the landline available to me whenever I...
Yep, I get that. I absolutely get it.
Yeah, and if you're in a situation where your location is one that loses power periodically or when there's a big storm or something like that, or I've had some clients of mine who have houses that are... rural, but their phone line goes across some intersection that often has poles that get hit by snowplows or people who have accidents with their car.
It's
or collisions.
That's why it's good to have a cell phone fully charged on, as a backup.
Or a backup battery for the cell phone, or just have a spare charger that you keep in your car, because your car, as long as it's got gas in it, makes it...
Right.
A tremendously inefficient but effective cell phone charger.
But in general, it depends on how big the... If you go with doing your phone through the internet and the system does have a battery backup, it depends on how big that battery is and how long your average blackout is.
Right,
yeah.
So, yeah, you're right to be concerned. It's not as big a concern as it used to be, but you are right to be concerned.
Yeah. So,
at a certain point, you'll make the call on where you want to be, and it sounds like right now you're sticking with the landline, and that'll work for you.
It's a perfectly legitimate decision.
Of course. Yep. And you can always reevaluate later on.
Yeah.
I suspect that most people don't even think of that when they're making the switch. I mean, they're offering a humongous price decrease.
Oh, yeah, of course.
To do this. And they seem kind of bewildered when I say, well, no.
Right.
Well, basically what they're trying to do is get rid of the copper.
The copper.
Yeah.
The copper lines are costing them a lot of time and effort to maintain. Those copper lines are very old and ancient.
Yep. And they have to run one to every house.
A pair. And it's just getting to be too much, with the internet. And now you notice around the city that they're putting up taller telephone poles because, there's so much that they want to run now as far as fiber optic and your power lines and everything else that it all takes space and you don't want it interfering. So that, and then to put a phone line on there too, again, that's more congestion on that pole and interference.
Yes, I have that taller telephone pole right in my yard.
Yeah.
Okay. Right now.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm in North Chile. So they haven't taken the old one out yet, but.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I think eventually something's going to go wrong, and then they'll say, well, we can't fix that. And so then eventually.
Yeah, get yourself prepared. Listen, Marie, we got to move on. Sorry.
We got another caller coming in, but it was okay. So nice to talk to you.
Thank you, Marie. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for your help.
Thanks for calling back. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye.
Yeah. Look, if any company offers to do antivirus stuff at their end, let them.
Yeah.
That's, you know, depending on what it costs you, of course, that's fine. I was just telling Dennis I'm going to be changing my...
your DNS, you said.
DNS settings to 9.9.9.9 and 1.1.1.2. Because those will both do a bunch of...
So there's a company that offers those things, and they'll do filtering.
They filter. That's the word I'm looking for. Thank you.
Based on a good list and a bad list of what they have. And if it's a good list, they'll let it go through.
Just makes my machine that much less busy.
Right. And you literally only have to change one setting to do that. So that helps out.
All right. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Dave from Spencerport, New York. What's up, Dave?
Yes, hi, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I was just wondering, with all the changes going on with Windows 10 and that, I'm just wondering what actually needs to be done at this point. We're older and that, and don't know if we should just take our computer into a shop or what do we really need to do?
Well, it's just like fixing a car. If you're the sort of person who wants to get grease on your elbows and dig
tools.
In there with the tools, go for it. Otherwise, take it to a shop, let them do the job.
Yep.
There's no reason not to.
Yeah. It's not your comfort level.
Whatever you're more interested in. I'm a software guy. I want somebody else to do the hardware. I've got to change the battery on my little digital thermostat.
Okay.
Thermometer. I don't even want to do that. I'm a software guy.
Right.
But, you know, if you're comfortable playing around with the hardware and the software, then do it yourself. You'll save a few dollars. If you're not comfortable with it, let the professionals do the job. And there's no reason not to do either one.
There's no shame in having somebody else do it for you.
Right.
But, yeah, I would say give them a call sooner than later.
Because they only got 10 days.
The thing of it is, though, first question, though, how old is your machine?
It's about 5 years old, laptop, Lenovo.
Okay.
It's running obviously it's running 10 right now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Do you know how much RAM it has, how much memory?
I offhand, I don't know.
Okay.
Right. But talk to a shop about that. They can give you options. The reality is there's three ways to go. If the machine is capable of running it well, you can put Windows 11 on that machine. You can do upgrades to your machine by adding new RAM, or more RAM, rather, and more storage.
Storage,
mm-hmm. a bigger hard drive, maybe, that sort of thing. Or you can buy a new machine. Those are your three choices. And which one you pick has a lot to do with how capable your machine is, how much money you have, quite frankly, and how much of a pain in the neck you want it to be.
Right. Is there any, I know you can't say it on the air, but is there any recommendations in regards to shops in the area?
There are a number of very good shops in the area.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think I know of any bad shops, truly.
Right, exactly right. Google has their reviews. Yelp has their reviews.
And for a
Better
shop,
Business Bureau, don't forget them. They've been around for about 1,000 years now.
But the good news is this type of thing that you are asking a shop to do is going to be very straightforward.
Yeah.
And what's even better, they're going to have a lot of experience doing it because it's a very common request right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you'll end up just fine.
And get, you know, go take a look. You know, we talk about vibe coding.
Yeah.
This is vibe buying. You go in and you look at a human being and you talk to them and you see how comfortable you are with them. And that goes a long way toward doing it. That's why I believe in shopping locally to begin with.
Mm-hmm. You've got a face to look at and someplace, you know, if you've got additional issues that you can take it back to.
Right. So, yeah, you know, if you're more interested in having someone else do the work, take a day and you know, go around to a couple of different shops and take a look. Start with the closest one. And if you feel comfortable with them right there, go. You're done.
Yep. Keeping it local helps.
Okay, very good. Thanks for the information. I appreciate
Sure. Good luck,
yeah,
Dave.
Have a great day.
Yeah, it's as Dennis just said, there was a time when I personally did not recommend certain places.
Right.
Those places are currently out of business.
Oh.
And so there
is almost like the market decided.
Right. Just something like that. So I don't, you know, I haven't been to every shop in town, but the ones I've been to are full of professionals who do a heck of a good job at what they do. And as Dennis also said, this isn't rocket surgery. They're
it's relatively straightforward
stuff that they do every single day.
And right now they're doing a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. So if you're on the fence, get off the fence.
Well, that's the other thing. When taking it to a shop, don't be surprised if you're going to be without your computer for a few days. Because, like we said, we're getting down to the crunch.
You waited till the last minute.
This is
it. Yeah. You know, if they tell you, oh, it's going to be at least a week before we can get to it, don't be surprised. Or get, you know, develop an attitude because, you know, you waited that long. There are other people that have maybe tried a couple weeks ago, and they're in the queue to get it done. It just takes time. Right. This is not something you can drive in the morning, have it ready by afternoon.
And frankly, it's not the fault of the technician that you waited.
Yeah.
Nope. But again, a local shop will get you going, get your setup right.
And many of them will say, if you'd like to be bumped up, it will cost you X dollars more.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Oh, we can do it all in the same visit.
I did perfectly it all fair. The time.
Perfectly fair.
Or I'd get some folks, one time I had a guy really developed an attitude. I said, tell you what, you know, because he was so irate. I says, I'm going to write down all the phone numbers of these folks that are ahead of you. Now, if you want to call each one of them and ask them if you can go ahead of them,
go in front of you?
I'll gladly do it.
Right.
I used to have a piece of paper on my door.
Okay.
These are all the people I have to see today.
Right.
If you want to be bumped up ahead of these people, you call each one of them. And I had their phone numbers on there. I was sitting at my desk one time. My back was to the desk. And I hear behind me a swear word, and that's real. I turned around. It was the president of the bank I worked for.
Oh, no.
I said, I'll take that down immediately. He said, no. He said, I wish I had your guts. He didn't use the word guts. Uh-huh. He said, I love this idea. I wish I could do it.
Well,
he was honest.
You got to manage in all directions, don't you?
That's exactly right. Manage every expectation, both up and down the line.
Yeah. No, we do that.
And he said, where am I on this list? I said, you are the list, sir. He said, that's the right answer.
Very good. You win. Yeah. No, where I work, we use Microsoft Bookings, which happily looks at my calendar and then advertises the times that I'm available.
Yeah, now that exists.
That's the modern version of your door paper.
Right.
and that keeps me from getting double booked. And it for people that
assuming
say, oh,
that
my
nothing
goodness,
takes longer than you expect.
You ever get the people that send you the email about how they need everything immediately with 18 exclamation points? And then they schedule not for tomorrow, but for 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Craziness.
I used to say there were certain people that I would not, and I can say this now because I'm retired, there were certain people I would not call back right away.
Sure.
Because if you waited like an hour,
they'd figure it out.
They'd figure it out, and you'd call them, and they'd say, oh, I figured that out. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. All right, we are done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. Excellent, excellent questions this week. I want to thank Dave Enright for having stayed awake for a good portion of the show. I'm very impressed by that.
Yeah, getting better.
I want to thank Dennis Worster. Even though we dragged him kicking and screaming in to do this, he was great. I want to thank myself for also having stayed awake for at least a portion of the show. I want to thank all of you who were listening. I want to thank, just everybody on the planet.
And Steve Ray, who just made it into the live stream.
Oh, there he is. Hi, Steve. We're done for another week. We'll see you in just 166 hours.